All right, Psalm 1, we'll finish it tonight. Psalm 1, we'll read the whole psalm. It's very short. I pray that we would commit this psalm to memory. It's an excellent passage to commit to memory. Let's go ahead and read it. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Lord, we ask for your blessings. We pray for a visitation from your Holy Spirit tonight in this passage in the Word of God. Help us to be immersed in it, Father. Help us, Father, to be engulfed, Father, under the shadow of thy wings, to be covered, Father, to be engulfed in your grace. O God, to be able to understand the scriptures, to trust you more, to love you more. Help us this night, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, verse 4 is where we pick up. And the psalmist says in the old ancient text, not so the ungodly, not so. The ungodly are nothing like the godly. The godly do not walk or conduct themselves in their lives like the ungodly. They do not listen to or follow ungodly opinions, nor their ungodly counsel. The godly do not do that. The godly do not live habitually sinful lives. Yes, the godly sin, but they confess their sins. They turn from their sins. They hate their sins. But the godly are not habitually sinful, nor do they stand or fix themselves in the way of sinners. The godly walk not according to the course of this world. That's not their course. That's not their track. And lastly, the godly do not sit in the scorner's seat. They are not doctors of damnation. They do not pontificate about wickedness and spread it as those that are in authority to lead others to follow their mischievous ways. Ungodly sinners might hide and mask themselves, though, but in their inner being they are rotten to the core. They are full of hypocrisy and iniquity. Jesus talked about some that had a form of godliness, a color or appearance of godliness, but still they were nothing like the godly. Of course, he spoke of the Pharisees. How might we know a masked Christian? Paul told Timothy, look at 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Remember, we are taught the godly are not so. What are they not? They are not like the wicked. Or the ungodly are not like the godly. They are not like a fruitful tree. They do not prosper in the way. They do not root themselves upon the solid rock of Jesus Christ. But they are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. 2 Timothy 3, Paul says, this know also that in the last time perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters. Just review these descriptions in your mind and you see it in the world, in the people of the world, in sinners in the world, in the ungodly in the world. Lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers of God, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, meaning without any moral self-control, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, means fond of pleasures, not fond of God. Verse 5, this is the puzzling part, having a form of godliness. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. What is a form of godliness? Well, you can go to Matthew 23 and you can read about those that had a form of godliness. These particular sinners are godly in form and appearance only. They feign themselves to be Christians, but they resist every means of grace and every godly influence toward them in their lives. They push God out of their lives. Like Romans 1:18 says, they hold the truth in unrighteousness. It means they suppress it. They push it down. They push it away. And yet, they have a form of godliness. They have a form of godliness. In their minds, they disallow it because their hearts are hard and impenitent. And as Paul wrote of them in 2 Timothy 3, they are lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. They are nothing like the trees of God's planting, which are cultivated, cared for, and that grow and flourish in the Lord. That's the saints of God. You shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. That's what the Christian's like. The Christian's like a tree, not a wild tree that you go out in the woods and see, but a tree that has been deliberately planted by the Lord. The planting of the Lord. If you're in Christ, you are the planting of the Lord. You're planted, you're cultivated by the Lord, you're cared for by the Lord, you're purged by the Lord, your dead branches are taken off of you. The ungodly bring forth no good fruit unto God. Bottom line up front, the ungodly are nothing like the godly, even though they might appear to be a good tree on the outside. So the ungodly are not so. They are nothing like the godly. But what are they like? And here the psalmist says they're like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Now the interesting thing about chaff is it has some use while the plant is growing. You know what chaff is. It's like when corn grows, the husk that are around the ears of corn, that's the chaff. It's serviceable for the plant, and it's coupled there with the good fruit for a while. The wheat is the same way. Chaff is separated from the wheat or corn by thrashing or by winnowing. It is afterward unserviceable. It is worthless and of no value. It is light, it is dry, it is dead, though at one time it was part of the wheat or corn stalk. It was. Now I'm going to read you a quote because I couldn't really pass this up. It's excellent. I think he does an excellent job explaining it. So it's a quote from Sir Richard Baxter. He says, "Here, by the way, we may let the wicked know they have a thanks to give they little think of, that they may thank the godly for all the good days they live upon the earth, seeing it is for their sakes and not for their own that they enjoy them. For as the chaff, while it is united, keeps close to the wheat, enjoys some privileges for the wheat's sake or for the corn, and is laid up carefully in the barn. But as soon as it is divided and parted from the wheat, it is cast out and scattered by the wind. So the wicked, whilst the godly are in their company and live amongst them, partake for their sake of some blessedness promised to the godly. But if the godly forsake them or be taken from them, then either a deluge of water comes suddenly upon them, as it did upon the old world when Noah left it, or a deluge of fire comes, as it did upon Sodom when Lot left it, and went out of the city. So you see, the chaff is blessed for the wheat's sake, and the ungodly are often blessed for the godly's sake. But once they're separated, it's blown away in the wind. And so the ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Chaff is driven or tossed away by the wind, unlike the wheat or the good fruit of the corn that is gathered into the Lord's barn. Look at Job chapter 21 and verse 16. The book of Job chapter 21 and verse 16. Remember, the psalmist is at this point telling us that the ungodly are not like the godly. Job 21:16. The book of Job 21:16. Lo, their good is not in their hand. The counsel of the wicked is far from me. Job's words. How oft or how often is the candle of the wicked put out? And how oft cometh their destruction upon them? God distributeth sorrows in his anger. They are as stubble before the wind, and as chaff that the storm carrieth away. And so, another description of the wicked. Hosea, the book of Hosea, chapter 13 and verse 1. And then we'll go to one New Testament reference. The book of Hosea, right after the book of Daniel. Hosea 13. The prophet speaks of the sin of Ephraim. He says, when Ephraim spake trembling, he exalted himself in Israel. But when he offended in Baal, he died. And now they sin more and more, and have made them molten images of their silver and idols according to their own understanding. All of it the work of the craftsmen. They say of them, let the men that sacrifice kiss the calves. Therefore they shall be as the morning cloud, or as the early dew that passeth away, or as the chaff that is driven with the whirlwind out of the floor, and as the smoke out of the chimney. You see, they're light, they're dry, they blow away. They're worthless, unserviceable. Matthew chapter 3, one New Testament reference. You know this is the words of John the Baptist. Matthew 3 and verse 7. So the ungodly are like the chaff which the wind drives away. The godly are like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit. They're evergreens. They're ever prospering. Their roots are rooted by the rivers of water, rooted upon Christ, full of life, always full of life. The leaves of the godly man, the leaves of the tree planted by God, they wither not. The ungodly is the complete contrast. Matthew 3:7, but when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, that is John, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? But bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance, and think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. And now the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Which trees? The trees that are not of God's planting. Therefore every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire, whose fan is in his hand. He's the winnower. He will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into his garner, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. It's interesting, the Greek word there for burning up for unquenchable, rather, is the Greek word, sounds like the English word, asbestos. Asbestos, we all know what that is. So the ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. So not only shall the ungodly perish, their way shall perish. What does that mean? So because the ungodly are not trees of God's planting, but are unstable, not rooted upon Christ, but like the chaff which the wind driveth away, they shall not stand in the judgment. So the psalmist is not speaking of literally, physically standing at the judgment. The meaning is the ungodly will have nothing to stand upon at the judgment when they do stand before God to be judged. They will have no righteousness which God will accept, no righteousness acceptable to God, nor any merit, nor any works acceptable to God. And that's the meaning of this passage when it says the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment. When the ungodly are judged, every plea, every argument, and every mouth will be stopped and silenced. If their lives, or in their lives, the wicked would not that Christ would reign over them, to refuse Christ is to say, I will not have this man to reign over me. You tell a sinner, you should believe Christ, you should turn from your sins to Christ. No, I'm not turning from my sins to Christ. Now, you might not say that overtly, but if you don't do it, it's like you saying, I will not have this man to reign over me. He will not be my Lord. He will not be my Savior. He will not be my King. It's like saying, we will not have this man to reign over us. So in the lives of the wicked, they would not that Christ should reign over them. On that day, they will have nothing to plead for them. Matthew 7:21, just listen, not everyone that saith, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. There will be many that say, Lord, did we not cast out devils? Did we not do many wonderful works? And he will say, depart from me, I never knew you, ye cursed, into everlasting fire. Revelation 20 gives us a vivid picture. Revelation 20 of the great white throne. Revelation 20:11. John says, I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. That's eternal damnation. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found, written in the book of life, was cast into a lake of fire. One more, 1 Corinthians 6. You know this one. We learned it a little while back going through the first letter to the Corinthians. Paul says, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? The real, actual kingdom of God. Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind. Notice all of those sins, the category of those, they're sins of unrestrained lusts. Verse 10, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. See, we're not the chaff. We're not the ungodly, Paul says. But you are washed, you are sanctified, you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus, and by the Spirit of our God. The unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. They shall not stand in the judgment. They will have nothing. They will have no righteousness of their own. Their own righteousness will not do. Their own righteousness will be abhorrent to God. You know, beloved, that you must have an alien righteousness when you stand before God, and it must be the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Listen, the righteousness that we possess was earned, but not by you. It was earned by Christ. He merited it. That's the righteousness that is imputed unto you. So the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor will there be any sinners in this congregation. See, it says the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. Only the righteous will be there. What congregation is that? Well, in the world there will always be tares among the wheat. The Lord taught us that. Matthew chapter 13. We know this because the parable teaches us that. Remember that the servants wanted to go root up the tares. Remember, the enemy sowed tares among the wheat. Tare looks very much like a wheat. It has a form of godliness. It looks very much like a wheat stalk. The difference, it's not wheat and it doesn't make fruit. The Lord said, don't root up the tares, because you might mistake a wheat and pull up a wheat. He said, let both grow together until the harvest. My servants, the angels, will separate them. He'll separate the wheat from the tares. There will always be sinners mixed among saints in the church and the world. There will always be tares among the wheat, but not in the church in heaven. There will be no sinners in this congregation. Revelation 21. Look at it. Revelation 21. Just one verse. I think one's all we need, but we could go to others, but we'll just go to this one. Revelation 21 and verse 27. Of heaven, John says, and there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. So beloved, there will be no sinners in this congregation. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. And lastly, the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Not only shall the ungodly perish, their course, their track, their manner of life shall perish. That way shall perish. That's awesome. Think about that. Not only will there not be the ungodly, they will perish. And many of our dear ones we pray for now, we pray that God would save our ungodly dear ones, ones that we love. We pray that God would change their souls, that God would give them a new heart, that they would turn from their sins to Christ. But in that day, not only will the ungodly perish, their way will be no more. It will be completely expunged. It's like it'll be exterminated, completely blotted out. Christianity is not only a profession, it is a way. The Lord knoweth the way of the righteous. He approves of the way of the righteous. He gives us the way in which we should walk. Look at Psalm 119, and we'll be through in a moment. Psalm 119 and verse 1. There's so much to be said about this, but for the sake of time, look. The way of the righteous is the good and right ways of the Lord. And these ways will continue to expand and flourish and fan out among God's people, as they should now. Psalm 119 and verse 1, blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep His testimonies, that seek Him with the whole heart. They also do no iniquity. They walk in His ways. Thou hast commanded us to keep Thy precepts diligently. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep Thy statutes. Then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect unto Thy commandments. And then notice also verse 9. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way by taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee, O let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. Blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me thy statutes. With my lips have I declared all the judgments of thy mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much in all riches. I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me. And lead me in the way everlasting. See, in that day, the way of the ungodly shall perish. Beloved, we need to be making it perish now in us. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be in me any wicked way. It's sobering to consider that the ungodly shall perish. Lost sinners are perishing every day by the minute. Again, many of whom are dear ones in our lives. But then how joyous to consider that the way of the ungodly shall perish. Of the wicked, Paul tells us in Romans 3, they are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. The way of peace have they not known. Beloved, when all things have been fulfilled and God has judged every mortal soul that ever lived, when all of God's elect people have been gathered unto the Lord Jesus Christ in heaven, when every impenitent sinner has been cast into the lake of fire, the way of the ungodly will also perish. Remember this, and I'll close, of the godly man. And I pray that you'll take this and keep it as long as you can hold it. The godly man's actions are the fruit of his meditations in the Word. In his law doth he meditate day and night. Don't forget verse 2 of Psalm 1. His delight is in the law of the Lord. The godly man's actions are the fruit of his meditations in the Word. The godly are nothing like the ungodly. And the ungodly are nothing like the godly. A good tree bringeth forth good fruit. And a corrupt tree cannot bring forth good fruit. They're both completely different. If you're in Christ, you've been planted by the Lord. You're cared for by the Lord. You will flourish in the Lord. If you're not in Christ, you will be and are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Turn from your sins to Christ if you have not yet. You have space. It is God's goodness that leads men and women to repentance. Human souls, believe Christ today to the saving of your soul. Let's dismiss in prayer. Father, we ask for your blessings. We thank you. I thank you so much for these precious souls. Father, these precious sheep, these dear ones, I pray, Father, that you would help them. Help every soul in this little building, both lost and saved. Father, for the lost, I pray that you would send forth your salvation. For the saved, I pray that you would sanctify each of them more and more. Father, may they flourish. May they be more conformed to the image of Christ. May they be made more ready for your presence. May they live in your presence now. I pray that any cross or ungodly way would be perishing in them, and they would be increasing and abounding in the ways of Christ with every passing day. Help us, Lord. Oh God, we need you. Father, we know that the Christian life is not about us pulling ourselves up, but it's about us being carried along by your grace and by your Spirit. But help us, Father, in our own hearts, in our own minds. Help us to have a holy determination after thee, O God. Bless your people as we go to our homes. Once again, I thank you for each of these precious souls. We give you all the praise and the honor. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.